7 of Drunk on Comics. How are you guys doing?
That is the lamest intro you've ever done.
I almost didn't realize that we were starting.
Wait, it's coming.
I was just asking how you guys were doing. What? Why does it have to be funny? Why does it have to be anything? Maybe I just was happy to be in the same room recording with you guys.
It's rarely funny, but normally you try.
I realized I try and I fail, so why try?
There you go.
That's very Taoist of you.
Set your expectations low and you can never be disappointed.
I just do not anymore. Yeah. There's no try.
Hey guys, welcome to Drunk on Comics. This is our weekly podcast about comic books and conventions and industry news, and there's going to be some gratuitous public nerdity.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
I haven't used that one in a long time, and there's no nuggets in that, so.
But are we in public?
Well, when
people listen to Derek out at the bar?
No.
Yeah, it's kind of hard not to listen to me. I'm loud as hell. But anyway, my name is Derek. With me this week, again, as always, we have Tony.
Hello.
We have Brother Matthew.
Hello.
And we have...
The Rapist Jim.
Yes, yes. It says therapist, but we're glad that you've owned up to that without even...
we've discussed with you. You help us talk through our problems. You are that guy. You're a therapist.
Yeah. I'm the rapist.
But if you
yes.
want to be the rapist,
yeah.
This is a first here, people. You are now firstly hearing him call himself the rapist.
Yeah, last week you just heard us call him the rapist.
That's a title that won't easily go away there, Jim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right, guys. Why don't we get things kicked off with Off the Shelf, brought to you this week once again by Grand Con, which is a comic and gaming convention happening September 20th through the 22nd at the Prince Convention Center at Calvin College in Grand Rapids, Michigan. You can check them out at grand-con.com, or you can find them on Facebook and Twitter. We're going to be there. Jim is going to have a table there as well.
Yeah. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good time.
Yeah.
He will rape the shit out of you.
I was going to say, I'm realizing we're making light of,
listen,
of rape and... We should probably get to comic books.
Yeah, probably should. So, here's your warning. We are going to talk about things that happen in the comic books. And so, if you don't like spoilers, stop, go read your books, and come back. Otherwise, we could very easily ruin things for you.
This is true. But from this point forward, at least you don't have to worry about any more rape jokes.
Probably. Yeah. So.
Okay.
Who's kicking it off?
Therapist Jim?
Not me.
That's not how this works here.
Fine. I'll go first.
I can go.
Nah, I can go. I got it.
All right.
I got this. All right.
All right.
You ready?
I.
An Avengers title. What? What? Matt got an Avengers title. And even more, I talked about it last week when I wasn't even here.
You're getting worse than Derek and Daredevil.
Yeah. Well, I'm
Wait,
sorry.
Wait, so are you going
There's
to
only talk... like two Daredevil titles, though. There's like Infinity Avengers titles. So
are you actually going to talk about the book that we had to read your long-distance dedication to last week?
Yeah, but this is a different book.
Oh, okay.
Last week it was Age of Ultron 10. AI.
AI, or AU.
Which doesn't even make sense, but now it's Avengers AI number 1.
Oh, okay.
Which is the series, right?
Yeah.
As mentioned before, I don't have to repeat how much I like Hank Pym right now. But who's even cooler than Hank Pym? Doombot.
Doombot? All right,
I thought
cool.
We were going to have a musical moment there, but I guess not.
Doombot.
You owe me $5.
So, apparently when the virus that Hank Pym used to stop Ultron became a self-replicating AI with the designation of Demetrius. And that is now becoming, it's hacking a bunch of systems, and so we don't have Ultron anymore, but we have Ultron by a different name, maybe?
Yeah, that's the thing that I hate about this.
That's the one thing that, well, I'm going to give them a little bit of chance to explain themselves and make it better, but, starting off by going, hey, we destroyed that really powerful AI and replaced it with another powerful AI.
That's now on the web.
Yeah.
It's on the internet.
I thought Ultron was on the internet. He was on Facebook. He even had a MySpace page.
Ultron.com?
Yeah.
Well, I know he had an AOL account. Yeah. You know, I mean, because he's been around for a long time. I mean, actually, mm-hmm. I think my first AOL account, he recommended me, you know.
It had the really awful dial-up modem sound.
Yeah, yeah.
Which happened to be one of his sonic attacks, but...
Oh, I'm receiving a fax.
So anyway, So because it's dealing with artificial intelligence, Pym has gathered a team of other androids One of them being a Doombot that he has basically blackmailed and threatened to be.
We already mentioned that. Who else is on the team?
Vision is on the team, and technically Vision's brother, who was one of the Runaways. Volume 2 of the Runaways, they introduced the characters, and I think his name's Victor...
Mancha.
There you go. Thank you very much. Who's now trying to... He's trying out a whole bunch of new superhero names, as a teenager would. But it's really... What was really funny is that Vision and him, they call each other brothers, because technically they were both created by Ultron, which I thought was kind of a neat, fun, weird... brotherly relationship.
Yeah, that doesn't bode too well with
no.
That Ultron is definitely eradicated. I'm thinking maybe not.
Yeah. Well, he talked about Vision went out to outer space because the Ultron imperative always calculates the odds of survival and does anything to change those odds of survival. So basically, Vision has just gone through a cocooned butterfly metamorphosis and came back looking the same, but being a little different with some power upgrades.
I'm just kind of surprised that the reason I gave you that weird look when you talked about Victor was I'm like, wait a minute, is he in Avengers Arena? But then I he's not. I'm just kind of surprised that they had a character from the Runaways that wasn't included in that book. So,
well, I know during the Age of Ultron part, he kind of broke off from the team, and they were leading towards him doing this one. So, overall, you know, I'm impressed with the book so far because I think that the characters got good dynamics. I love listening to Doombot threaten and swear at Hank Pym and everyone else for making him do such base things like save people's lives.
Matt, who, and you may have said it, but
no, I didn't. That's my bad. We've got the one and only Sam Humphries as writer.
I love Sam.
Artist by Andre Lima Andre is the artist. And colors by Frank D'Armata.
Cool.
So, but yeah, it's a fun book. They had a really great variant cover. It was a 16-bit cover.
Was it 16-bit or 8-bit?
8-bit. Maybe 16. I don't know. It was 8-bit. I'm sorry.
16s are just slightly better.
Slightly better looking.
Yeah.
Know your bits.
But the last thing I'll say is another...
Or in Matt's case, his bit.
Yeah. So the last thing I'll say is there's a character in Monica Chang who I'm not really familiar with who she is in the 616 universe, but I know she's a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, but I know her better from the Ultimate Universe where she was married to Nick Fury and is basically she is now the Black Widow and she's now the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. So she's like a super spy in the Ultimate Universe where she's really awesome. So I didn't even know that she was an equivalent. It makes sense that an Ultimates character would have started in the 616 universe, but I had never heard of her until reading this book. So, anyways, it's good. Thumbs up if you want another Avengers title, go pick it up.
And you always want another Avengers title.
I tell you what, I can't get enough of them. Mighty Avengers.
All right. Well,
which is another Avengers title coming out here soon.
Yes, I am aware. I think if they put just Avengers, it could just be like, you know, X-Men, the Avengers.
<You know>? X-Vengers.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just like anything on there.
X-Vengers.
Deadpool Avengers. Huh. All right.
This book is crap Avengers.
I'm buying it. I really liked it. I picked up Superior Foes of Spider-Man from Marvel. It's number one.
I picked it up, too.
Matt, did you pick it up?
I'm picking it up right now. See? Can you see me? I'm picking it up.
Yeah. Nice.
That's my copy.
Yeah.
That was for the viewers out there.
Yeah, the viewers. The viewers at home. written by Nick Spencer. Art by Steve Lieber. Colors by Rochelle Rosenberg. Letters by Joe Caramagna. And I got the 8-bit variant cover by Matthew Waite, which is a... we'll talk about covers later. So, this new series centers on the new Sinister Six, even though there are only 5 of them at the moment. And they actually reference that in the book, which I thought was kind of nice.
Yeah, but one of the things is they can call themselves that. Does that really make them the Sinister Six?
We call ourselves experts.
So I guess
I think they can call themselves the Sinister Six.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, I mean, like, the, how does the Sinister Six work? I mean, like when one team's done, is it just like whoever gets the domain name? Is
that yeah.
So
SinisterSix.com.
But anyway, Boomerang is the main character in the story. He's also the narrator, and basically he puts this new team together more or less as a ruse to get himself bailed out of jail. But it's kind of nice to see a little bit different view of, or a different side of these villains, you know, whether they actually have superpowers or whether they just have, like, super suits. You know, kind of see how they struggle against everyday law as well as, you know, the superheroes like Spider-Man.
Or if they have pets.
Yeah.
Or who they are, what they like to eat.
Yeah, you know, or if like one guy likes to duke in somebody else's house and not flush and leave it there, so.
Hammerhead's such a dick.
But I thought Spencer did a really, really nice job setting up this story, you know, introducing you to these characters. Because I've heard of, you know, some of these characters and I've read a couple issues, but I didn't really know a lot about them. So he does a nice job playing off like the archetypes of a team like this, you know, where you've got the cocky guy, you've got the loser, you've got the hothead, you know, all these different things in there. And the nice thing is that Lieber did a really wonderful job, I think, to conveying a lot of that through the facial expressions of the people that were there. The thought balloons that they used in here a couple different times, where they had little icons or symbols in there, really, really smart. And actually, I thought pretty funny, too. But actually, this book made me laugh a couple times, you know, I mean, just from the good banter going back and forth to, you know.
I love the part when they're like, man, you need to run across town to get the keys. He's like, I'm not going to do it. Who's going to steal birdseed when they just stole the birdseed?
Yeah.
So he's like, shit. And then he runs off screen. And, oh, door's unlocked.
Yeah. He gets back. He's panting. Yeah, but so it was, I honestly didn't expect to enjoy this book as much as I did. I'm like, I'll give it a shot. I probably won't go to issue two, but, you know, I'm really happy I picked it up. I mean, I was surprised. I did really enjoy the couple scenes where they were robbing the pet store, you know, and he steals the dog from the little girl. Yeah. She's got to learn, you know. And when the Beetle was robbing the comic book store, that was probably one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome, because she did, which ones are the most expensive, or what's the...
Yeah, she has no clue.
Yeah, and the guys behind the counter, well, it depends. I mean, are you looking for, like, you know, classic stuff, or are you looking for, like, what's hot? I mean, this one right now, you should look at it on eBay.
Low-print indie book, you know, those are going big.
Yeah, but they all suck. You think everything sucks. I mean, it was great banter. It was really smart writing, but...
Really, they just heard a recording of us and wrote it down.
I liked the few parts where, like, Shocker's giving the finger.
Yeah.
Not the Shocker, but the finger. And it's censored, or that later on when Boomerang's in prison, he's flipping the bird. It says, approved by a comics code authority. Like,
yeah, it's got it blocked out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just a smart book, but yeah, two mugs up on this book for sure, and lots of fun. I think it's well worth a shot if you didn't pick it up.
Yeah, and I still forget that Speed Demon used to be called the Whizzer.
Yeah. Yeah. Jim?
Alright, well, I'm gonna go probably buy that. That looks awesome.
Alright, enough talking from you, Jim. I picked up Transformers Robots in Disguise, number 19. The prelude to Dark Cybertron.
Sorry, I just didn't expect that. It's been a long time since we just shut Jim down.
Thanks, boss.
No problem, therapist. I didn't say the other word, so it wasn't a...
Jim. That's the other word.
Right. Anyways, Transformers, Robots in Disguise, number 19. I've mentioned Transformers maybe loosely without knowing the whole background of what's been going on in them. Holy shit, I've caught up, and it just blows my mind how what IDW has done with my childhood and just totally made it cooler. I can't even get into that discussion because it's about 2 hours of going over the whole story arcs, but needless to say...
I know, you told me on the way to Motor City.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's a two-hour... We missed our exit.
That's why we were late.
Because my navigator wouldn't shut up.
Anyways... To just run it down, pretty much the Autobots have defeated the Decepticons. So they have now moved back to Cybertron. There's kind of war and strife going on. And there's actually two different books. There's Robots in Disguise, and then there's More Than Meets the Eye. More Than Meets the Eye is taking a group of Cybertronians off to find the Knights of...
Columbus?
Of Light. Yes.
The Knights of Columbus.
And anyways, while they're off, you know, searching the galaxy, we have pretty much strife and anarchy kind of going on Cybertron, where we have the factions of the Autobots, who fought for everyone. We have the Decepticons, who, well, pretty much fought back against Autobots, who are then kind of there under, you know, house arrest, but they're still allowed to live. And then they have everyone else that wasn't involved in the war, the people that didn't want to take a side.
The Swiss bots.
Yes.
I think most of them transform into Swiss Army knives.
So we have three different groups all vying for who's going to kind of rule Cybertron. And currently right now, Bumblebee is de facto left in charge there once Optimus Prime took off. One of the big things that happened in the last battle before the Autobots were defeated, they fought this bad guy, giant phalanx type creature, and Megatron actually sacrificed himself for Cybertron. That's the one thing about Megatron, even though how evil he is, he's always in his, you know, spark, believed it was for Cybertron.
Believed in his spark of sparks?
Yeah. So you have Optimus Prime, who now is no longer Optimus Prime. He's going by Orion Pax. And it's kind of hard for him to live down that name. That was his original name before he became a Prime.
Okay. Yeah.
So, although I'm going way into history, not even about what this book's about.
Yeah, I was wondering when you're going to start talking about the book, but
I thought this book was going to start going into what's going on Cybertron, where Megatron just came back from comic book death, and he's probably planning on starting the war. Orion Pax has said he's not planning on stepping foot back on Cybertron until you read this issue. Pretty much, he's going through, it starts with the space bar where Waspinator is talking about how he destroyed a Titan being Metroplex, one of those huge-ass Transformers, which if you could find the toy, you'd be rich right now, because it's badass and it's worth a lot of money on eBay. The reason why they wanted to get the Titans is because these things have space bridges in them, which is, I guess, the biggest technology that Transformers can't reproduce, is to create time travel space bridges through the universe. So they want to go ahead and get that. Optimus and some of his ragtag crew go to this planet to find this mad scientist who is searching for one of these Titans. Ultimately, they end up finding them. The bad guys get the Titan. They're going back to Cybertron. And now Orion Pax is following him. Pretty much that's what this story was about. It was not what I was thinking it was going to be. What I told you is not a lot what was in the book. But it's setting up for what's going to be a fucking awesome
story.
Is it
now the mystery box? Is it J.J. Abrams' mystery box that now you've intrigued us to want to know more? And so
yes.
We're gonna,
well, I
want
to know what Dark Cybertron's all about, and it's leading up to this. So this prelude was a pretty good prelude, even though it had nothing to fucking do with what's going on in Cybertron.
Hang on.
So this
Hang
is
on.
Like the anti-review.
Wait, who's Optimus Prime?
I thought when you said there's two different titles, More Than Meets the Eye, I was like, More Than Meets the Eye is Avengers, and Robots in Disguise Avengers.
Oh, God, I love Transformers. I'm done.
Did you say who did the book?
Oh, John Barber wrote it, and Dahirez Verma was the artist, and Joanna LaFuente was colors.
All right.
Which all in all were also fucking
awesome.
Yeah,
most of those Transformers books have been pretty gorgeous, the ones that I've peeked through, so. Nice
all right.
Art.
Well, I think that does it for Off the Shelf.
Except for Jim.
Oh, you guys actually want me to review something?
Yeah.
All right.
Not really, but since you're here, we'll let you.
All right, I'll take a minute to gush over issue 12 of Batman Incorporated, the penultimate issue to the six-year epic that Grant Morrison has been telling. He has with him Chris Burnham on art, Nathan Fairbairn,
you're usually the one to mess up names.
And then Dave Sharp.
Artists.
Hey, I got 3 out of 4, guys.
Yeah.
Dave Sharp on letters, though. So, leading up to this, Damian died. And
what?
Bruce is
hey,
mad.
Spoiler alert, asshole.
Wait, we're not doing spoilers anymore?
No.
Oh. Here's your spoiler alert. All right. So Batman's gone mad, obviously, over this.
Crazy and mad or yes, like angry mad?
Like he has
Hulk mad.
He has donned an exoskeleton to go beat the shit out of everybody responsible for this, and this is just it's putting all these pieces over the last 6 years in a line, and you know, in the next issue we're gonna see how this all plays out. I have to say, like, first half of this issue, I was kind of like, are they going to make this an epic conclusion? And then it hits you where this girl in the shadows says she's kind of been behind a lot of this stuff, and that what's going on is bigger than Bruce, bigger than, you know, his group of superheroes that he's working with, that, you know, it's going to be dealt with by a higher power. And Dick Grayson recognizes her. My prediction is that it's going to be Catherine Kane, the original Batwoman.
All right.
They're going to bring her back. But, Talia, who's been behind this whole thing, as far as the villain goes, this series, she kills one of her Damian clones and then blows up the Wayne Tower. And rides off, and we end this with them about to face off in the Batcave, Talia and Bruce, you know, and it's going to be exciting. Another quick thing, the art, Chris Burnham has just been knocking it out of the park. I think he's one of the best artists in the last, like, 3 years in comics?
Yeah, he's been fantastic.
Like, since he popped up on this book, it's just been flawless, so... So, I guess, two pints up.
2 pints up, huh?
2 pints.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that does it for Off the Shelf.
Everyone, you need to go read Transformers. I can't explain it enough. My review sucked of what this was, but read Transformers.
But what is a Transformer?
What's an Autoboot?
Transformer is something that takes high voltage electricity and transforms it into a much more usable volt.
And I'm sorry, but can you tell me about the Autoboots?
That was for our neighbors to the north. You know what I'm talking about, an Elegant Weapon podcast. all right, yeah, so once again, that was brought to you by Grand Con, so check those guys out. Tony, what should we do?
You put me on the spot. Let's ask Jim. What does Jim want to do?
Let's do...
Doesn't matter. Anyways, let's go on to news and notes.
All right. Cool. Let me take a peek and see what we got. This one was an interesting one. This came off of io9.com, where they're talking about the Doctor Strange movie, the possible Doctor Strange movie. And basically, somebody got a hold of, like, the first script of this and released a bunch of stuff. It sounds kind of interesting, but I think the bigger story here, because I honestly don't trust any of this as to how reliable that script is. I'm just more excited to think that maybe there really is a script. You know, I mean, they've talked about Doctor Strange.
I think we have the computer graphics technology to make the special effects work.
But stronger, do we have the interest? Faster, is smarter. The thing.
We have the magic. Technology.
We have the technology to do magic now. But I think, like, this is kind of the same problem that I had with Thor, that when you get to Asgard, the art was so classic, so fantastical, what Kirby was able to imagine, what Asgard looked like in the Rainbow Bridge, that a lot of that, those other worlds in Doctor Strange, like the astral plane and stuff with, like, random eyeballs and looks like planets orbiting, like, you know, a patio furniture, that stuff's really cool visually. I'm just not sure how well that will translate then, though, to the screen.
I think one of the biggest questions with the Doctor Strange movie, though, is, I mean, yeah, the movie universe has been able to kind of say, yeah, there are such things as superheroes, we can kind of believe
there's
this.
There's aliens, we have the technology.
Yeah, how do you mix magic in?
Yeah. That's a good...
Well, also, the last, like, 3 decades, Doctor Strange has not been able to hold a book more than, you know, a handful of issues. Mm-hmm. I think it's somewhat... I loved it. Don't get me wrong. I'd love to see a movie. But it does seem kind of foolish to take on that instead of something that you know you're going to have the audience reaction and the wanting for it. You know,
I think the one way though you can guarantee this movie would be a success: cast Ben Affleck. So,
but also on
say
the,
David Copperfield on is the Sorcerer Supreme.
On the script side, though, this happened with Avengers. They had 8 pages leak. They completely rewrote those pages.
Yeah.
But it got people excited and talking about it and stuff.
Too. So I if just that wanna, script is real, it, that's not what you're going to see.
I just want to see how they're going to do the hairy horrors of Horgoth.
Yeah, well, you know, the other thing is, though, rarely does a first script ever even look like...
Yeah.
But that makes sure like that it's been leaked. It's definitely not going to be anything like that.
Other movie news, Tony, that I know you were excited about, some Transformers pictures... Got leads from Transformers 4?
Yeah, yes, I did look at those, and they look badass.
Yeah.
I mean, no matter how much Michael Bay sucks at ruining my childhood, I still will pay any sort of money to see giant transforming fucking cars. Like, that alone in the movies, even though the plot kind of sucks and the human interactions, but you see a giant fucking semi transform into this giant robot.
Wait, they're robots?
Robots.
There's robots in this?
Shut up, Jim. No one likes you.
Yeah, no, the I liked the unnamed ones. They had like a Stingray in there, and they had a Bugatti in there.
Oh.
That I'm like, okay, those are just sweet ass cars.
No, just looking at the pictures alone, like fucking millions of dollars just right there. Oh. In those cars. And fuck, I would love to just drive any one of those.
Well, Tony, it's at the GM Proving Grounds, it's only a couple hours from here. I mean, you could just hop over there. And...
All right, I'll see you guys later. Record the rest without me.
Vroom, vroom. All right, Astonishing X-Men got canceled, which that was a book that I had been reading, but I'll be honest, I'm about 3 issues behind now.
Do they have an Astonishing Avengers?
No, but they probably will now. Yeah. That got canceled. You know, so that was a really damn good book, though. You know, but I think there's just I don't know if this is a sign of things to come in Avengers 2, that you're just oversaturating with X-Men.
I think so. I think, you know, it's fun to do a little side story or two, but I always have that problem with an ongoing series when so many of those characters are also in other series as well, that it's really hard to know, okay, this is the one I need to focus on. Split them off for a little while. Say, hey, we're going to do this Astonishing X-Men story arc. Maybe it's 2 story arcs. Really cool. But then fit it back into kind of like the main X-Men story one. But when you just got so many different ones, it's hard to... Unless you got real strong writers and some really awesome ideas.
Well, that's one of the things that they mentioned like when we were talking about the end of the Avengers run with Bendis, how when they first came up with the new Avengers, like who would be the ultimate Avengers team and why? Well, if you're selling your book mainly on the name of Spider-Man, Wolverine, you know, Thor, maybe you have a problem with being able to sell your other products because the writing or the art sucks.
Yeah.
Take care of that and have books that can sell themselves without those big names.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of other big names...
I'll call on Jim. He had his hand raised.
Well, I was just going to say, it seems like with Astonishing X-Men, the moment Joss Whedon left it, they kind of just funneled it to the back.
Yeah, but Marjorie Liu's awesome.
Oh, there's no doubt about that, but when they're not, when the publisher's not focusing on something and they keep, you know, all these other X-Men books are going on, you got Bendis on an X-Men book now, like, it's just not going to sell.
Yeah.
No, it's unfortunate.
What I was going to say, though, I mean, it ties right in with what you're saying, Tony, is that there's been a lot of chatter this week about how a lot of Marvel's big gun writers are doing other creator-owned books over Image. You know, so, I mean... Greg Rucka being one that left, you know, I don't know, he'd necessarily call him a big gun, but, you know, he was the guy that got me back into Punisher. Leaves goes over to Image, and now he's doing, you know, Lazarus over there, but, you know, it's just kind of interesting with Remender and Brubaker and Fraction and all these other guys.
But they're not jumping ship to do exclusively over at Image. They're just doing, hey, I've got this other project, these other characters that I thought would be really cool that don't really fit into the Marvel universe, and...
But they could. Well, in some cases, they definitely could.
But then you have the whole issue that Marvel, a.k.a. Mickey Mouse, would then own them, and whereas Image, if it's, you know...
Well, not exactly. They have Icon, where, like, Kick-Ass and Criminal are published. That's Marvel's, like, Vertigo, basically.
Okay.
And from what it sounds, it's very tough to, like, get a book approved. And I'm guessing it's not, like, as good of a deal as Image gives. Like,
yeah, probably not.
So, it makes sense. You know, these guys are creating stuff basically just, you know, that they can't own. They have no rights to it.
Yeah.
They need to have the creative release somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, but needless to say, there are a bunch of really cool books that are going to be coming out from Image this year. So
I'm sure we'll pick up a couple of them.
Yeah. Well, same thing with Vertigo, though. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of new books coming out there. I think there were six new titles that they're talking about. The Wake being one that's already out that I've talked about. But there's some bunch of Sandman stuff tied in, Jim, I think you know about.
Well, they've been talking about the J.H. Williams and Neil Gaiman Sandman Prelude. I think that comes out in, like, a couple months. And then there's a tie-in. I don't know. You told me about.
Yeah, that. I don't know. There's, like, Sandman Overture, but, like, they're talking about, like, stuff coming out from, like, basically from now through December. So,
okay.
Kind of interesting to see. I mean, I don't know. Like, I've just started becoming a fan again of Vertigo.
Yeah, they need to go back to their roots.
Vertigo's been amazing to me. In all the books that I read there.
See,
so.
I'll say, but most of the stuff that I do for Vertigo, though, I get the graphic novels after the fact. Yeah. Like, they've been out for a while, and I've heard great things about it, so I go pick up the stack of, you know, the graphic novels on trade paperback. So, I don't know, maybe I'll pick up some as they come out monthly.
Yeah. Tony?
I got some news for you, Jimmy.
Oh, okay.
Which we may or may not have talked about this prior, but Ron Perlman really wants to do a Hellboy 3, and I know that this is your cup of tea there.
Oh, yeah.
You're a big
Hellboy
fan.
That's awesome. It sounds like Ron Perlman's always trying to, like, do something little to to try to get Del Toro into it.
Ron Perlman's always been, like, a... you know, secondary character and everything. And then he does Hellboy, where he finally gets to be the lead.
Yeah,
and
so.
He is just perfect casting for that role. But he was talking with Del Toro the other day over dinner and just kind of flat out said, so when do I get to be Hellboy again? Like, we built this whole thing up for a giant conclusion. We know you like to, do the epic endings, and when's that going to happen? So they're seriously discussing now doing that, which it's an eventuality. It's going to happen.
I will support that decision.
Oh, yeah. You have my money.
Hey. I have a decision I'm curious to see if you guys are going to support.
No.
Marvel and NBC have teamed up to bring back no less than 5 TV shows back to digital comics. Now, they may be released as print, but right now they're only talking digital.
Okay.
Airwolf.
What's that?
You don't know what Airwolf is?
It's the sequel to Beowulf.
Yeah.
I thought it was like the ghost of Teen Wolf.
Airwolf was... wow. Airwolf was the TV version of Blue Thunder. It's a kick-ass helicopter.
Okay.
And I want to say that MacGyver flew Airwolf, but I could be completely wrong.
That makes it awesome.
Okay.
Like, the guy that played MacGyver.
No, it was MacGyver. Continue. Yeah.
They are also bringing back Miami Vice.
Okay.
Which I'm kind of curious as to how that one's going to work. Punky Brewster...
I am so about that one.
Yeah. This is one of my favorite. This one I'm kind of excited about. Little Knight Rider.
Oh.
That out of the ones, I think, is going to sell second best to Punky Brewster.
Yeah. I think Knight Rider will do the best.
Actually, I think the one that's going to do the best is the last one they announced. Saved by the Bell.
Oh. All right, yep. All right, shut up and take my money.
But wait. Can I just can't wait to see A.C. Slater turn that chair around and call him preppy.
The only problem I have with that is we've already grown up with them. We've seen them go off to college. We've seen them get married. Is this going to be like...
And then we saw Elizabeth Berkeley in Showgirls.
Yeah, and then we saw... And we saw, what was Tiffany Amber Thiessen's character?
Kelly,
yeah. And we saw Kelly get implants.
Yeah.
You know, it's just...
By the way, I remember reading an old article about, like, the greatest superheroes, or greatest superpowers ever, and they pretty much said that the best superpower ever is the Zach Morris timeout.
Yeah, the Zach attack.
God, I hope they draw in that phone. They don't update the graphics of this comic book at all, where he has that giant backpack phone.
Yep. Yeah, and
the cell phone.
Oh God! What if they went like now and you took like the same kids, but now they're like all goth and emo and hipster and.
Dude, kids would not be getting away with just going through the halls without a hall pass. Like,
yeah, you need a hall pass now. Otherwise, like the sheriff that's patrolling the hallways will stop you.
Yeah, but I thought you guys would really appreciate
Saved by the Bell. It's on Netflix now, so
yeah. Yeah, that is a lot.
And
of
the
memories.
Time when they went in that summer and worked at that
that place, that resort. Stuff?
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh man, the memories.
Well, yeah, but do you know who the who Zach's girlfriend was out there?
No,
it's I can't remember her name now off the top of my head, but it's the wife from King of Queens.
Oh yeah. Leah Perlman. No, not Leah Perlman. It's Leah Thompson.
No, not Leah Thompson.
Ron Perlman.
It's Danny DeVito.
Yay.
Yeah, yeah. Leah Remini.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, she was the girlfriend in that.
I'm getting nostalgic.
Yeah.
This is
we
blast from the past.
We could continue on this for a long time, but let's
I have
so that's continuing Marvel's theme of time traveling by time traveling back to the 80s.
Yep.
Or let's go back to the future.
Okay.
There's a comic coming out which is part of the proceeds are going to help, let me bring it up, the Young Storyteller Foundations. And this story is called Back to the Future. It takes place in the real world and kind of time traveling back to when the movie was made. So it's really metaphysical, I don't know the correct
metafiction
term.
Sure.
Yes, metafiction. If people didn't know, in the original, when they were filming Back to the Future, there's a guy named Eric Stoltz who was Marty McFly. 4 weeks into production, they just felt that he wasn't the right fit. So they recast Marty McFly as Michael J. Fox. Well, then at the time, he had a different girlfriend in the movie. And because she was a little bit taller than Michael J. Fox, because he's kind of a short actor,
she was like 5'3".
Yeah, too tall for him.
She ended up getting recast as well. So this comic book is about these two real-life actors somehow accidentally going back in time to prevent them from being recast in Back to the Future to then what could that happen to their success now in our present. Michael J. Fox, you know, do Spin City, would all these things happen to him?
Parkinson's. What happened to
better be a DeLorean involved.
I hope so, too. If you go to backtobackthefuture.com, there's links to their Twitter or Facebook page. And you can go on Facebook right now, and they have links to download the first two of the 6-issue part for free.
Wow.
So
free stuff.
Yeah, free stuff is always good stuff.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that covers all my news.
I have no more nudes.
Yeah. All right. Should we do a little indie turnpike, Tony?
Yeah, as long as that takes me towards those Transformers.
Wow. All right, indie turnpike this week is brought to you once again by Intercomics. They're your online retail source for all your comic book needs, located in the UK, but they do ship worldwide. Go check them out. They actually have some really cool blogs and reviews and stuff there, too. It's inter-comics.com. You find them on Twitter and Facebook, too. So, this week for the Indie Turnpike, I picked up Absolution Rubicon, number one, from Avatar, written by Christos Gage, art by Daniel, Getty? G-E-T-E. I'm not sure. I apologize. And color was done by Digicore Studios. Now, this original character first appeared in a 2009 6-issue miniseries created by Gage and published by Avatar. They also had a free comic book day issue that was released this year, which prefaced this new story arc. And this story actually starts out with like a courtroom scene where you have like a drug lord who's being acquitted from his conviction years earlier because the cop that arrested him, John Dusk, is now considered a serial killer. And so they're saying that anybody that John Dusk arrested, when all the evidence was brought in by Dusk,
yeah,
you can't trust it anymore. So this guy, like, this guy's being released because of it. So what you find out, though, throughout the story arc is that Dusk was not only a cop, but he's what they call an enhancile. Or, in other words, he had superpowers. And you see Dusk a little bit later breaking up a bank heist. And he actually goes after the guy that got out, too, and kills him. Like, he's killing these,
he's a serial killer.
Criminals.
But he's a criminal serial killer?
Yeah.
So he's the Punisher?
Similar, yeah, vigilante.
Dexter?
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of getting the vibe of.
But with really cool superpowers, which his superpowers are really interesting. He can shoot things kind of out of his body, almost tendrils, like venom-like. Okay. But at the same time, I've heard people kind of describe it as he almost has Green Lantern-type powers because he can make shields and little bubbles that float him away and stuff like that. So,
okay. Where did these powers come from? Super Serum Soldier?
Doesn't explain and doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah, which I think is fine. Like, I don't always need to know. I mean, unless you've got a really cool reason why you became a superhero.
Wait. We need secret origins for every single superhero.
Well, now, it may actually say in the original miniseries that it may explain where these powers came from, but in this one, they don't, but it doesn't matter as far as the story. But you do see him breaking up this bank heist, and it's kind of funny because they talk about earlier on in the book these two women who are cops, one for sure being an enhanced out as well, which a lot of the cops are now. But they talk about this one guy whose name is Clusterfuck, and then
wait, is his first name Cluster, last name Fuck?
No, it's just Clusterfuck. Just
that's
one
code name. Like
just.
Yeah,
just one word. But then when Dusk goes to break up this heist, the bad guy there, he's like, I was hoping you'd show up. I'm mind fuck. And Dusk is like, what is it with all you young guys having to put fuck in your name? He goes, it doesn't make you sound edgy. It makes you sound stupid. Yeah. But Dusk ends up kind of getting on the ropes. Another vigilante called the Urban Legend comes in and saves him. And you find out later that the Urban Legend is not actually an enhancile. He's just a normal guy, but he's an ex-cop named Earl, who is one of the first kind of vigilantes, but he was very good about not ever being seen, not ever being caught, which is why he is the urban legend. But one of the other really interesting parts of the story is that while the government is not a fan of Dusk being a vigilante, the police are actually behind him 100%. And there's a really cool scene in there. I mean, they know that his methods are extreme, but they know that ultimately what he's doing is in the best interest of the citizens. So, end of the book, you see the government going into this guy who's in this maximum security prison, like the most terrible, enhancile villain that you know, and they're releasing him on, like, as a deal. We're going to give you $2 million, you're going to leave the country, but before you leave the country, you go kill Dusk. So, kind of cool. There were a lot of really great things about this book, and I honestly had no clue what this was. I picked it up. It was bagged because Avatar is known for being really graphic on some of their stuff, like especially like if you've ever picked up any of the Crossed books. Yeah. But this one, you know, I picked it up knowing about, you know, I like Gage's work, so I picked it up based on that. It's violent, but there is some gruesome violence in here, but it's no worse than an R-rated movie. You know, but Gage does a fantastic job, I think, making a totally unrealistic scenario seem believable. The dialogue's really natural, and like I said, I mean, there are a couple spots that made me laugh. So, you know, it's the small details that separated this book from everything else, and honestly, this was the best book I read this week. I mean, just hands down, best book I read this week. So,
because you didn't read Transformers,
you heard it here.
Yeah. So, I'm recommending people go buy this book. I am in the process of trying to track down the original miniseries. I know it's available in trade, but if I can find the individual issues, I'd like to. So, two mugs up. Go buy it.
I will only check it out if they have or will do a secret origin. I do not want to read stories that I don't know these characters.
But
like
what if I told you that somebody is pissing blood in this comic?
Now you just now I'm aroused.
For me, it has to have a pretty cover. I only pick up books by its cover.
Well, that too.
That is what I mean, with the exception of Gage, I picked it up because it had a sweet ass wraparound cover.
Speaking of covers,
yeah. Speaking of reach arounds.
Best on tap.
You asshole.
I just killed Derek.
Best on tap brought to you once again by our good friends Comic Book Displays. You can check them out at comicbookdisplays.com. They have frames for both graded as well as ungraded comics. They have frames for 11x17 prints and original art. Find them on Facebook, find them on Twitter. And we're going to have a little contest with them, which we'll discuss here in a second. But, Tony, what was the best on tap cover of the week?
Oh, it is Superior Foes, the 8-bit.
Matthew Waite cover that I picked up.
And that just in and of itself, so there's been a lot of 8-bit covers recently. This one, though, you can tell straight 8-bit, from back in the NES days, it's made to look like the Mega Man screen when you're picking.
Which bad guy do I want to fight next?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which superpower do I want to get next? Yeah. So I thought it was just
more like
ingenious.
Which level do I want to lose at over and over and over again?
Yeah. It's just ingenious the way that it just works perfectly with the bad guys that he fought in or were in this story. Because actually, Superior Spider-Man actually wasn't even in it. So
they showed one picture of him.
Yeah, he was fighting at the beginning.
Yes. Yeah, but it's a flashback picture. But yeah.
Yeah. So ultimately, it just works so well with the people that were in the book, and it just was.
Yeah. It's fun. It's got the good solid standard colors that you saw in the video games and yeah. So. We are going to be having a contest coming up here, which will be starting
Friday.
Now I do have to give a disclaimer. It is going to be U.S. residents only eligible to enter into this contest.
And if you're listening to this like a month from now, it's Friday, July 12th. Yes, the Friday that you listen to this.
Yeah, and it's going to be going for 2 weeks.
2 weeks,
right?
So it will end July 26th.
Yep. So basically what it will be is...
we want you to get involved. Yeah. We want you to discuss with us, be part of us, kind of help do some little viral networking of our shit.
It'll involve commenting on things on Facebook, commenting on things on Twitter.
You can even comment on stuff on our webpage, too.
Yeah. And retweeting and sharing us and all that. And basically, you every time you do it, you can... there's four ways that you can do. You can comment on Facebook.
Well, there's a couple different ways. Share any of our links on Facebook. Like any of our links on Facebook. Comment on any of our likes on Facebook. That's pretty much what you can do on Facebook. Twitter, you can comment on any of our questions that we ask, and you'll get a point there. Or you can retweet any of our items, and you'll get a point there.
Or you can, just mention us in a comment.
So there's multiple different ways that you can get points, and we're limiting it since there are multiple different ways. You can get up to 4 points per day.
Yep. So, and then all those points will be added into a hat. So,
And then we'll be like, whose line is everyways?
Whose line is it everyways?
Everyways.
Yes.
Not anyways.
Yeah.
Wait, you mean the points are going to matter?
Yes.
Yeah, the points are going to matter.
Yeah. Yeah, because each point is basically an entry.
Yeah.
So, we will randomly select somebody, and whoever wins gets a custom frame, whatever they want, from Comic Book Displays. They'll ship it to you for free. They'll make it for you. So,
just to repeat, this is for U.S. residents only.
Yep. So, go check out comicbookdisplays.com. Find them on Facebook. Find them on Twitter. And you'll see what kind of awesome stuff they do. So, that was Best on Tap.
Cool.
Sweet.
All right. Booze in a book?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Boozy books.
Booze in a book. This week, I picked up Satellite Sam from Image. And it's written by Matt Fraction and art by Howard Chaykin. I'm pairing this with a Rusty Nail, which is 1.5 ounces of scotch and 0.5 ounce of Drambuie poured over ice, stirred well, and garnished with a lemon twist. And the reason I'm suggesting these two as a combo is it's kind of multi-layered. Both the booze and the book are not going to be for everybody. I mean, I will tell you that right up front. Also, the book takes place in 1951, and the Rusty Nail is kind of a drink that's been around for decades, and it's a good classic cocktail. The other thing is, I think they're both a little rough to the untrained palate, you know, so it might be a little hard to swallow for some people. But if you're brave enough to try something a little outside your comfort zone, I recommend both, you know, both of these. You know, even if they don't end up being your favorite thing, I think you will at least have a solid appreciation for a stiff drink and a strong book. So,
well, hard shaken. Those two words alone.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. So, is the Howard Chaykin a drink?
No, he's the artist.
Yeah. Art is by Rusty Nail.
He draws
Nail.
Comics?
Okay. Actually, that could be somebody's name is Rusty Nail.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm Howard pretty sure Chaykin. She's a porn star.
I'm sure Howard Chaykin has a drink named after him, though. Yeah. He has to.
I'm just thinking the porn star has tetanus. all right. That pretty much does it. You guys got anything for last call?
I got a few things for last call. I'll start with What If? Avengers versus X-Men, issue 1. It's going to be
a
four-part
series. Why'd you
pick that up? Well, it's a four-part series. I don't know why I picked it up, but I just picked it up because I kind of like What Ifs. They're kind of fun.
And it kind of said Avengers in the title.
Wasn't going there. But, no, so far, you know, like What Ifs. I was really kind of sad that Uatu the Watcher isn't, like, at the beginning of What If saying, "Behold, I will show you a different way things could have..."
Really?
They had the narration, but they didn't show Uatu watching.
What do you mean, who?
No, he said really.
No. Oh, I said really.
I thought he said who.
No, so that disappoints me a little bit, but I don't know. I did like how the AVX panned out in the first place, so I'm willing to give this a shot. But hopefully making it a four-part What If doesn't disappoint me. Because that's a big investment for a What If book.
What Ifs should never be more than two.
They really shouldn't, but...
Have they ever been more than
But we'll see how this goes, so...
I think there's been two-parters in the past,
There's, like, one about the Phoenix I know was a two-parter.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know, I always feel whenever it's a What If, it's a... Why are you coming up with this idea now? It's as if this is the way they wanted to do it, and now they're finally seeing it realized, so...
No, it's things they can't do to the continuity.
Yeah, because already like characters have been killed off. Spoiler alert, Storm gets shanked by Wolverine.
Oh, now I want to read it.
So, but yeah, actually, that was one of those moments where I'm like, see how quickly an accident could happen? Accidents like that never happen in superhero books. It's like there's an explosion. Everyone had a shield up or was hiding behind a building and no one got hurt. But no, Wolverine's trying to attack Namor and Storm steps in and shank.
Yeah, that was actually unexpected. And you would think that Wolverine has accidentally eviscerated many foes or people before.
Yeah. So, anyways, so we'll see where it goes, but right now, it's alright.
What else did you have?
I got a few more, but I'll share. Someone else go.
Deathmatch, number 7 from Boom Studios. Paul Jenkins and Carlos Magno. This book, they answered some questions in this one, but they didn't answer all of them. And that was cool. So, that was one of them that I had. Obviously talked about Satellite Sam. Screwed. This is an interesting one.
Yeah, I remember seeing a preview of that.
And we talked to Tyler Kirkham at Motor City a little bit about it. Which, he's the writer on this, and I know him as an artist, which is very, you know, it's just different. This is a little bit of a take on a Frankenstein type story, and there's some really, really interesting things going on in here.
But it's not just like one Frankenstein creature. There's like...
Well, it's the... She is the main Frankenstein creature, the main girl in here. And she sees people as demons when sometimes they may or may not be. It's kind of hard to tell. But it's a really good book. It's a miniseries. I think it's a 4-issue miniseries. But Screwed is definitely worth taking a peek at. Jim, what else did you have in there?
I checked out Trinity of Sin Pandora, which, if you've been following the DC Universe, she's the catalyst for the New 52 happening in the blockbuster summer hit a few years back, Flashpoint.
How is that book?
This kind of goes back and tells her history, and you'd expect it to be like the pre-New 52, since she did that. It's not. I don't know what it is. She basically like unleashes sin on the world, like the seven sins.
Pandora.
And so she's trying to go around and kill them after she cried for like a few millennia.
Sorry, when you brought up the seven deadly sins, I was watching a cartoon, Batman the Brave and the Bold, and they did the Shazam episode team up, and as they're going through, and Shazam's got about the seven deadly sins to man, and instead of lust, they had injustice, and I just thought it was funny that we're watching a kid's show, and we can't say lust, so we'll turn it to injustice. Sorry, go on.
Well, some guy shows up, I don't know, that dealt with Shazam, I guess, in a different book. But so she plans to open the box and try to put the sins back in, and you find out at the end, spoilers, that she's going to go to find somebody with the power. She's going to try to team up with Superman. And I guess this is leading to that event they're doing this summer.
The Triforce War?
Yeah. I'm kind of interested now, a little bit. I might check out one of the Justice League books or whatever.
Okay, wait, who's this guy that's hooded? He's got a red face, but it's really pruny, and it looks like he's wearing big golden gauntlets. It's Red Thanos.
Yeah. That is totally Red Thanos.
Well, that makes sense, because Pandora looks like a cross between Ghost and Rachel Summers.
With the hood's powers, with guns and...
Yeah, that might have not been the best design concept. Yeah.
Well, when you have the little red things on her face, which... Although, then again, Zealot had those things from Wildcats back in the day.
A lot of people have had those things.
Yeah. I guess that Red Thanos is Wrath.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rathos.
Rathos.
Emily and the Strangers, the three-issue miniseries wrapped up. I do have some Daredevil, Matt.
Okay.
Daredevil Dark Knights 2 of 5. This is, and actually I got into a really interesting conversation with the owner of the comic book shop that I go to. Lee Weeks drew and wrote this miniseries. And we're talking about it in the fact that it's a really good storyline. It's classic, like 1980s feel Daredevil.
Didn't Lee Weeks do Daredevil back then?
I think he did.
He's
some.
He's been a Daredevil artist before.
But I never really knew him as a, never really knew him as a writer. So this is cool. But like we were talking, like I don't know if it justified a miniseries. But at the same time, how do you mix this into the middle of the regular running series when you have Wade and Somni doing such a kick-ass job on it?
Well, that's why they're doing that Spider-Man miniseries where he's got a sister. Like that's going to be a miniseries that just kind of takes place outside the continuity of things, because what they care about is a compelling story rather than the continuity issues. But
I have something that was also equally amazing that I love. It's the final to Iron Man, The Secret Origin of Tony Stark, which, as before, I was just bitching about how dumb this is, that he's going to have a secret origin, but it actually works. It doesn't ruin continuity at all, and in fact, it actually seems like this was how they always had it.
I think it. I think it is kind of an enhancement for the Tony Stark mythology.
Yes, I mean one of the things is he was engineered chemically, bioengineered when he was a baby in his mom's womb by the Recorder 451, this robot. And he's starting to find out all this reasoning. And the biggest thing is in the last three pages, when he explains to him, you know, this is why you were so much smarter. This is why you built all these armaments. This is why you went into weapons when Hank Pym went into science for science sake and Reed Richards was going through time and space. It was because of Tony Stark why Earth hasn't blown up so much, because he was created.
So much.
Yeah, so much.
Well, they brought up the fact that, you know, Earth was on the we could have become a superpower in the universe. But of course, when a superpower is rising, all the other ones are looking at it and going like, "Eh, not so much." So it was because of Stark's technology that S.H.I.E.L.D. got armed, that they were able to fight off these alien invasions time and time again. That and other superheroes. But
one of the things that he mentions to him is how, and you've always had this affinity for exoskeletons. This is something you've done. So I want you to come and pilot this thing. And he's just looking at this hologram of this kind of ugly looking mech armor. And he's just like, yeah, I don't think so. And then the robot goes, no, read the description again. It says 25,000 feet tall. And Tony Stark goes, that's nearly 5 miles high. Where is this thing? And then he goes, this is called the Mr. Stark, meet the God Killer. Oh. So this armor, this is just going to be epic proportions.
Well, what was really...
Well, wait. The God Killer? Could the God Killer go up against the God Butcherer?
Ooh. No, because that's in a totally different continuity.
But they're all Avengers.
Yeah, they are all Avengers. No, what I like, though, is this is, you know, when they started the Iron Man one, they called it the God Killer, like, series and stuff. And I thought, I took that to mean that he'd killed the Phoenix Force. And that's where people were calling him a God Killer, because he killed the Phoenix Force. And now they've slipped it back in that, no, what we're really talking about is this giant anti-celestial mech thing for killing Celestials. So, that could be cool. Kieran Gillen wrote that one, and another one that he did this week, Uber number 3, from Avatar. Still awesome. Still the Nazis are a bunch of assholes. And
wait, they haven't changed yet?
No, they haven't changed yet. Well,
when are Nazis gonna learn and just start being nice?
No, like, Hitler's a complete dumbass in this, and it, which is actually kind of like cool, because that's historically accurate. No, the one Nazi general who, like, really knows how to deploy the Übermensch, the superheroes, he basically has to report to Hitler that the spy got away. And Hitler's like, oh, no, it's okay, man. It's okay. And then he takes one of the Ubers in and melts the guy's face off while Hitler just eats his soup. And so you get all the
So he's the soup Nazi?
Yeah, he's the soup Nazi. Nice. But the best part about it is at the end of it, the rest of the Nazi generals are still around. They're like, okay, here's what we do. We've got the advantage. Let's go get a supply base. We can restart our, you know, war machine and everything. And Hitler's like, no. Look at Germany's in ruins. Let's go make Paris the same ruins. And it's like, if Hitler would just, like, stop and focus and, like, take it little by little, the Nazis probably would beat everyone. But fortunately, they have a psychopathic motherfucker in the charge of all the decisions, and that's why he's a dumb fucking dead. So, thank you, Hitler, for being such a shit.
I have one last thing I want to show you guys. The cover on this is the retailer incentive cover, and so it has nothing to do with the book, but it's Zartan and the Dreadnoks fighting Snake Eyes while they're riding dinosaurs.
Oh, boy.
What?
Two of the dinosaurs have handlebars like the motorcycles.
Dinosaur cockpit.
And dinosaur cockpits, yeah. It's fantastic. So
G.I. Joe's special mission.
Yeah, like, I mean, this was one that I wanted to maybe consider for Best on Tap, but I'm like, you know what? I'm like, this is just worth holding until the very end.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah. All right, well, I think that does everything for me.
Everything for me, I'm spent.
There was another Avengers title, but you guys know I picked it up.
I think part two of Off the Shelf is is over.
Whatever.
No, I liked that.
Wow.
I hope the readers like that too, and the viewers.
Yeah.
And then I hope that they go and like it on Facebook, because
and I hope
that'll
that they
get
listen
them points
to it, because they're not really reading or viewing us. But.
Actually, speaking of, please go check us out on Facebook. It's, you know, / Drunk on Comics. Find us at Drunk on Comics on Twitter. And go to drunkoncomics.com. We put up a ton of reviews over this last week. And we've got a ton more coming this week. So go do it.
Yeah. Do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
Do it. Do it.
Doomba. Da Doomba.
I don't know why you're singing that song. All right, guys. I'm Derek.
Tony.
I'm Doomba.
I'm Doombot too.
You know you're our therapist. All right, guys, on behalf of everyone here at Drunk on Comics, keep reading those comics we'll be back next week to talk about them then.
Autobots.